Welcome back. All right, let's draw this to a conclusion and get to the phones, shall we? Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. So the Washington Post article dealing with Teresa Sullivan's quoting of Thomas Jefferson, the founder of University of Virginia, the very university which she leads, quoting Jefferson, oh, that's an outrage. So back to the story, her email, her second email, with the second email, a contingent of the campus decided they'd had enough because she had the audacity to quote Jefferson to give students a sobering reminder that they had a responsibility not only to themselves but to their fellow countrymen in Jeffersonian fashion. And then she had the audacity to write a letter advocating peace on campus, writing Thomas Jefferson was the first American president to wrest power from an opposing party, yet he also provided a potent precedent for the peaceful transfer of power and the healing of a divided nation. So the school is outraged, or seemingly. Assistant Professor of Psychology Noelle Hurd drafted an open letter to provide Sullivan with some constructive and respectful feedback regarding her messages, was the quote. This email denounced her usage of quotations, Teresa Sullivan's, that is, by Jefferson, the school's founder, due to the fact that he was a slaveholder, which is a point we'll come back to. 469 students and faculty members signed the letter. And again, I would remind the listening audience that, as Manly P. Hall pointed out, it is the general opinion that revolutions begin with the common people, but this is not true. The benevolently informed always guide and direct public opinion. So between that and Bernays's words, again, the propagandist, public relations is the term he coined. Between that and Bernays saying, we are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested by the suggestibilists, I would say, largely by men we have never heard of. So 469 students and faculty members signed the letter. Why? Because they're outraged at the use of quotations by Jefferson at the school he founded? The letter read in part, we are incredibly disappointed in the use of Thomas Jefferson as a moral compass. Thomas Jefferson owned hundreds of slaves. Other memorable Jefferson quotes include that blacks are, quote, inferior to the whites in the endowments of body and mind, end quote, and, quote, as incapable as children of taking care of themselves, end quote. Though we realize that some members of our university community may be inspired by quotes from Jefferson, we also realize that many of us are deeply offended by attempts on behalf of our administration to guide our moral behavior through their use. Interesting. It's stated that although some members of this community may have come to this university because of Thomas Jefferson's legacy, others of us came here in spite of it. It's interesting, if they're that outraged, I mean, if there's that much moral outrage over Thomas Jefferson and quotations of him, why attend or work, teach at the school he founded? It's utterly ridiculous, in my opinion. Others came here in spite of it, obviously in a preemptive attack on logic, essentially. Anyone who would say, well, then leave the school, go somewhere else. It's absurd. So University of Virginia President Teresa Sullivan, a woman, quotes Thomas Jefferson, the founder of the school, and and 469 students and faculty members sign a letter that doesn't really make any sense. We are incredibly disappointed in the use of Thomas Jefferson as a moral compass. This is an ill-informed position. And how provocatively ironic at the University of Virginia that the ignorance surrounding Jefferson would it's almost like the hubris is kind of being flagrantly flaunted in people's faces. Look how dumb they are. They're at the University of Virginia, of all places, and they're very ill-informed. It's that contingent that I've mentioned is precisely as Mike Huckabee mentioned in his CFR speech, the foreign policy speech at the CSIS for the Council on Foreign Relations back in 2007. When Huckabee said, to create havoc in the world, you need educated people to provide the intellectual underpinnings and poor, desperate people to provide the manpower. So who's who in this case of the University of Virginia? Just going back to that example and coming forward in a minute. But Huckabee said, before the Russian Revolution, the rural peasants who formed the overwhelming bulk of the population weren't sitting around reading Karl Marx. They were illiterate. And these people, in this case, 469 or so who signed a letter of moral outrage regarding Teresa Sullivan quoting Thomas Jefferson at the school he founded, they are, in my opinion, essentially functionally illiterate as well. Huckabee went on to say, it took a small number of intellectuals to provide the theory and then rally oppressed peasants behind them. The ruling class is the spark, but the underclass is the fuel. A strong middle class is the firewall. And what is happening? These people are being sparked. Their outrage is being sparked. But does it make sense? No, you get a group together. It's groupthink, herdthink, textbook, herdthink, or textbook Marxism, Marxist provocateurism, conflict, applied to textbook Bernaysian groupthink, herdthink. And what is the end result? It doesn't have to make sense, but these people are led astray largely by men they have never heard of, as Bernays would have said. Their ideas suggested largely by men they have never heard of. So here's the irony. Here's the ultimate irony. Speaking of Jefferson, you know, it's interesting. The Washington Post article points out that even Dr. Martin Luther King quoted Thomas Jefferson, and he said, Dr. Martin Luther King, that is, Jefferson, with keen perception, saw that the festering sore of slavery debilitated white masters as well as the Negro. He feared for the future of white children who were taught a false supremacy. His concern can be summed up in one quotation: I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just. Dr. Ben Carson, retired neurosurgeon, no slouch himself in many ways, in discussing Hillary Clinton and Margaret Sanger, was very candid on this subject as well. And interesting, you know, Hillary Clinton receives the Margaret Sanger Award. Folks like Ben Carson seem to understand this issue in a way that everyone should. If Thomas Jefferson was such a bad guy, then why does Ben Carson say Margaret Sanger was an awful person, and then allude to remarks that Jefferson made. Interesting. Speaking of that, I want to give you one example of Ben Carson's remarks on the subject of Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood. He had a few appearances. The one I'm thinking of was with Neil Cavuto. And he expressed the same sentiment. I think that was around the same time period that I'm talking about. Anyway, here is an excerpt from the interview that I'm talking about. I think this was November of last year. Anyway, this is Ben Carson on Margaret Sanger, Planned Parenthood, and so forth. Go ahead, please.
With the whole Planned Parenthood thing, right in the videos, Doctor, and I know many of your colleagues have said, shut it down, shut the whole thing down, defund it, close it. I think Donald Trump drew a line there saying the abortion stuff by all means shut down, but he said, paraphrasing your doctor, does a lot of good for a lot of women, a lot of families, et cetera. Do you draw the line? Do you think there's some things that Planned Parenthood does good and should remain viable?
Well, certainly women's health issues are important. There are a lot of women's health clinics that don't engage in abortion, by the way.
Right.
So that by no means is it a do or die situation. But no, I believe that abortion and paying for abortion with federal funding, when so many people are against it, is just not the right thing to do.
All right, but for Planned Parenthood itself, because Planned Parenthood says none of the tax dollars go to fund abortion on these tapes, you wonder how they, if some might many make money off of it, but there's no way of knowing it right now. What we do know is it's a controversial group, but Democrats have seized on Republicans' concerns about Planned Parenthood as being a war on women, that you're out to get women.
Well, you know, maybe I'm not objective when it comes to Planned Parenthood, but you know, I know who Margaret Sanger is, and I know that she believed in eugenics and that she was not particularly enamored with black people. And one of the reasons that you find most of their clinics in black neighborhoods is so that you can find a way to control that population. And I think people should go back and read about Margaret Sanger, who founded this place, a woman who Hillary Clinton, by the way, says that she admires. Look and see what many people in Nazi Germany thought about her.
That she was for targeting certain races, right?
A great person, yes.
So that's a provocative little soundbite, and that's not exactly the one that I was looking for, because in I think that same interview, it was either that interview or the CNN interview, Ben Carson cited he alluded to Jefferson's sentiments, and I want to get back to that because, again, that is the provocative irony here. Jefferson, well, perhaps we'll come back to this. I want to give you one other. Speaking of Planned Parenthood, Tucker Carlson had Abby Johnson, a former Planned Parenthood worker, on his broadcast recently, and that was a great interview. But before we get to that, you know, the point here, hopefully, trying to rope this all in, rein this all in, is to say, look at how absurd and nonsensical, illogical this all is. Thomas Jefferson, the founder of the University of Virginia, one of the greatest founding fathers, arguably the greatest American statesman, a man who is very humble. I've mentioned, you know, speaking of virtue, morality, and religion, very humble in his letters to to others is vilified. Teresa Sullivan vilified for quoting Thomas Jefferson, the founder of the university she presides over. What audacity for her to quote Thomas Jefferson. Meanwhile, Margaret Sanger is vaunted as some great humanitarian, and she was a eugenicist, essentially by her own admission, referred to people as human, certain groups of people as human weeds, and even folks like Dr. Ben Carson say, no, she was an awful person. She was not fond of black people. And so why is she someone that people consider a good person? And Thomas Jefferson is considered a racist when even Dr. Martin Luther King pointed to Jefferson's notes on the state of Virginia, Query 18, manners. And here is the irony. This is Thomas Jefferson's notes on the state of Virginia, Query 18, manners, in light of Black History Month, and with the backdrop of all that we've discussed so far. Listen to these words from Thomas Jefferson. The particular customs and manners that may happen to be received in that state. Question, let's talk about those. In other words, it is difficult to determine on the standard by which the manners of a nation may be tried, Jefferson wrote, whether Catholic or particular. Catholic in this case, the orthodox term, meaning universal Christianity, so to speak. It is more difficult, Jefferson wrote, for a native to bring to that standard the manners of his own nation familiarized to him by habit. There must doubtless be an unhappy influence on the manners of our people produced by the existence of slavery among us. Ah. Do these same people know that Jefferson wrote these words? But listen, continuing. The whole commerce between master and slave is a perpetual exercise of the most boisterous passions, the most unremitting despotism on the one part, and degrading submissions on the other. Jefferson also wrote these words. Our children see this and learn to imitate it, for man is an imitative animal. This quality is the germ of all education in him. From his cradle to his grave, he is learning to do what he sees others do. If a parent could find no motive, either in his philanthropy or his self-love, for restraining the intemperance of passion toward his slave, it should always be a sufficient one that his child is present. But generally, it is not sufficient. The parent storms, the child looks on, catches the lineaments of wrath, puts on the same airs in the circle of smaller slaves, gives a loose to his worst of passions, and thus nursed, educated, and daily exercised in tyranny, cannot but be stamped by it with odious peculiarities. The man must be a prodigy who can retain his manners and morals undepraved by such circumstances. And with what? And by the way, this is where we are in America. Kids who are brought up in the public school system are perhaps victimized in the same manner. The man must be a prodigy who can retain his manners and morals undepraved by such circumstances. But I digress. Continuing, and with what execration should the statesman be loaded who, permitting one half of the citizens thus to trample on the rights of the other, transforms those into despots and these into enemies, destroys the morals of the one part and the armor patriae of the other? We'll talk more about Jefferson's words on the other side of this break. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN, and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Let's wrap up Thomas Jefferson's words from his notes on the state of Virginia, Query 18, Manners, again with the backdrop of Black History Month in mind, and that with a backdrop of perhaps Manly P. Hall's words from The Secret Destiny of America, the general opinion that revolution begins with the common people. That's not true. The benevolently informed, as he put it, always guide and direct public opinion. So how is public opinion being guided and directed in Bernaysian fashion these days? Are ideas suggested largely by men we have never heard of? If we only knew. Jefferson was brilliant. So brilliant. His bill for the more general diffusion of knowledge. So brilliant. To help guard certain forms of government that are better calculated than others to protect individuals in the free exercise of their natural rights, the most effectual means of that being to illuminate as far as practicable the minds of the people at large, and more especially to give them knowledge of those facts which history exhibiteth that possess thereby of the experience of other ages and countries, they may be enabled to know ambition under all its shapes and prompt to exert their natural powers to defeat its purposes. So in addressing this issue of the controversy of Jefferson, a slave owner, was he just one of these old, evil, racist white guys? Was there perhaps more to the story? Continuing in his notes on the state of Virginia, Jefferson wrote, again, with what execration should the statesman be loaded who, permitting one half of the citizens thus to trample on the rights of the others, transforms those into despots and these into enemies, destroys the morals of the one part and the amor patriae, of the other. For if a slave can have a country in this world, it must be any other in preference to that in which he is born to live and labor for another. And doesn't that sound like America today, sadly? If we only knew that the 14th Amendment, for example, expanded the plantation and didn't get rid of it. But I digress. Continuing, in which he must lock up the faculties of his nature, contribute as far as depends on his individual endeavors to the evanishment of the human race, or entail his own miserable condition on the endless generations proceeding from him. But these days, we don't think about that. We herald Margaret Sanger as a great humanitarian. Meanwhile, the organization she founded wants to kill people that think she's great. Whole generations, whole groups of society, genocide, soft genocide, if you will. But I digress. Continuing. With the morals of the people, their industry also is destroyed. Listen, America. For in a warm climate, no man will labor for himself who can make another labor for him. Aha. Sounds like John D. Rockefeller or Napoleon Hill, etc., etc. This is so true that of the proprietors of slaves, a very small proportion indeed are even seen to labor. And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are the gift of God, that they are not to be violated but with his wrath? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever. Can the continuing, that considering numbers, nature, and natural means only, a revolution of the wheel of fortune and exchange of situation is among possible events, that it may become probable by supernatural interference. The Almighty has no attribute which can take side with us in such a contest. But it is impossible to be temperate and to pursue this subject through the various considerations of policy, of morals, of history, natural and civil. We must be contented to hope they will force their way into everyone's mind. A provocative irony, these Jefferson's words. To conclude, he wrote, I think a change already perceptible since the origin of the present revolution. The spirit of the master is abating, that of the slave rising from the dust, his condition mollifying, the way I hope preparing under the auspices of heaven for a total emancipation, and that this is disposed in the order of events to be with the consent of the masters rather than by their extirpation. Do we know in America, particularly those so outraged at Jefferson and by Jefferson, do we know that he wrote these words? Sounds like Jefferson's Emancipation Proclamation, doesn't it? If only we were fully informed, again, in the fashion of Jefferson's more general diffusion of knowledge, the bill for the more general diffusion of knowledge. How provocatively ironic. See, I think if I could just read between the lines a little bit, knowing that the intriguers, the suggestibilists, these would-be rulers of us all from age to age, they think it's kind of funny flaunting their esoteric agendas in our faces, the unwashed, profane masses, none the wiser. Meanwhile, they steer history. Wouldn't it be something if people were actually informed? And it's interesting to me that Jefferson is not controversial. There is no Marxist rhetoric when one looks at the language in the Bill for the More General Diffusion of Knowledge, the preamble in particular. When Jefferson says, possessed with a certain body of knowledge, they may be enabled to know ambition under all its shapes and prompt to exert their natural powers to defeat its purposes. It's very non-combative, non-confrontational. It's just matter of fact. It's a good idea. Be informed. You'll know what's going on. You'll be able to spot ambition under all its shapes and prompt to exert your natural powers to defeat its purposes. What could be better? Again, a provocative irony particularly in light of Black History Month and all of these other controversies we see brewing. People getting upset, all the marches and all the groups, if they only knew. They're being steered, guided and directed by intellectuals, all of this funded by folks that they probably wouldn't like if they knew. Soros et al. They're pawns in a political game, dupes. If only we knew. If only we were sitting around reading Karl Marx, referring back to Huckabee's words, and weren't functionally illiterate in America. But I digress. Let's go to the phones and grab John of Tennessee. John, thanks for calling. Welcome. We have John.
Can you hear me?
Hey, John.
Yeah.
Howdy.
Oh, you can hear me? Okay. Chris, I remember as a kid in Detroit going to grade school, and every couple of years you got these great-smelling new textbooks by Macmillan, who happens to be controlled by the Rockefellers. So you're rewriting history. That's the only reason you would need a book every couple of years. But anyway, long and short of it, in my understanding, we've got a generation beyond mine that have been brought up that they're brilliant. You can't do wrong. You can't fail. So we send them to college, which also should be avoided at all costs, I believe, because even the word university, when you look at what that word means. So we teach them to go there, and they already know it all before they get there. Now they want to learn, but they only want to learn what they need to know. So they don't need the truth. They don't need to come let us reason together to expand their brain and get as much truth and as much knowledge as they can so they become intolerant. When someone is saying something that they've been taught all their lives in school, 180 degrees out, and someone starts teaching them or mentioning a founding father like Jefferson, who they've heard of, but they haven't heard any of the good that he did. I guess what I'm trying to say is that they already know it, so they don't need to tolerate the truth, which is right along with this agenda that we're facing, where there was an article in a British paper that literally said, tolerance for the intolerant will not be tolerated. So basically, we're not going to tolerate the intolerable. It's like yesterday you were talking about this woman, this grade school teacher or middle school teacher, who was doing the exact same thing in California at Berkeley that they were doing, that she was accusing them of. Violence,
right.
and all the rest of it, and then said something about he's against homosexuals and Muslims and anyone that he disagrees with. Well, apparently she doesn't know that he's a homosexual.
Yeah. Yeah.
How can a house divided against itself stand?
So he's exactly.
It's all a bunch of garbage, man, and the people are so dumbed down.
Exactly. Like I said yesterday, you know, Jesus saying, how can Satan cast out Satan? If that's not what's happening, then what is happening, people? Come on. Yvette Falarka, the middle school teacher, leader
back
of the,
in 84.
One of the leaders of the group, by any means necessary. I mean, doesn't that kind of say it all? Anyway, go ahead.
Well, back in 84, I picked up a book. It was called Grand Illusions, by author by the name of George Grant. Grand Illusions, The Legacy of Planned Parenthood. And I read that book. It's like 300 or 400 pages. I couldn't put it down. I read it in about 6 hours while I was at work. Then I a few years later, and that's where I discovered Margaret Sanger and eugenics and all this other nonsense, all this other evil, satanic, destructive understanding of what life is. Then I came across a book by, I think his name was Harry Brunius, Better for All the World. And I would suggest that anyone that wants to get a crash course on eugenics, pick up the book Better for All the World by Harry Brunius. It will open your eyes to who Sanger is, and the very people. It can't be said enough. Listen, the very people that are holding this woman up are the ones that she wants to destroy, and not just those individuals, but their posterity. And you don't have to be black. She doesn't like if you're black. She doesn't think that anyone that's not able to support, and I agree, you shouldn't have children if you cannot afford to care for them properly. But she literally believes that you have no right to reproduce if you cannot provide for them. That you not only should you not, but you should not be able to the point of forced sterilization, which brings me back to this other book, Better for All the World. This is a dark. Up until 1979, guys, America was forcing sterilization on people that they deemed to be incompetent or incapable of providing for. And it could be a minor mental incapacity, or it could be a physical shortcoming. They would take them into the hospital if they ruptured an appendix or they needed an emergency operation, and the doctors would take it upon themselves to sterilize women or men without their knowing it. It's really messed up. And it's time that we wake up and understand the only force that would be behind such an action, Chris, you know and I know, has nothing to do with benevolence. You know, these people that were, I forget the term that you just used, given benevolent knowledge, or whatever that was. You know, this loving knowledge.
Informed is the way that Stanley P. Hall put
it. First question that came to mind, to my mind, was the people that are benevolently informed, who informed them, man? Was it a loving Satan?
You know? It's an esoteric term, exactly. Yep.
So, the rest of us, if we're not benevolently, I can't hardly say it, benevolently informed, we must be malevolently uninformed. You know, up is down and down is up. And
exactly.
With that,
yep.
I wish understanding on everybody to the point where my people perish for lack of knowledge. The word knowledge means knowing. So people, let's know what we're fighting. Let's know the only thing and the only one that can combat what we're up against. We can't do it of ourselves. We can't do it with guns and bombs. I'll make room. Thank you, Chris.
It's interesting. Thank you, John. I appreciate it, as always. It's interesting. Any call to cooler heads prevailing, any call to drawing down the conflict is always met with hostility by the hidden hand as the unseen hand, as Ralph Epperson might put it. But you know, you think of folks like Dr. Martin Luther King, for example, speaking of Dr. King, and him, you know, could be a revolutionary force. People say, you know, he's a communist, et cetera, et cetera. That's fine. But you know what? He had a way of bringing people together. And that is not a good idea. So, you know, he has to take a dirt nap. Then you have voices like Robin Cook, for example, in the article that I mention frequently, as often as possible without sounding too much like a stuck record. The article that he wrote that was published in the Guardian the day after the London 7/7 bombings. So July 8, 2005. His article titled, Robin Cook's article titled, "The Struggle Against Terrorism Cannot Be Won by Military Means," was published. A brilliant article that made all kinds of, wow, shocking, provided all kinds of shocking revelations, like the segment where he mentioned that bin Laden was a product of monumental miscalculation by the Western security agencies. Was he? I think Cook was being kind. He wrote, throughout the 80s, bin Laden was armed by the CIA, funded by the Saudis to wage jihad. Again, this was 2005. Think about this. This is essentially, this was the mission accomplished era. These are shocking revelations at the time. Still are to some people, I suppose. Throughout the 80s, bin Laden was armed by the CIA, funded by the Saudis to wage jihad against the Russian occupation of Afghanistan. And parenthetically, by the way, it's interesting. You know, if the Trump administration's ban, the travel ban, was a Muslim ban, it would include Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, Egypt, Pakistan, some of the places where the would-be terrorists ever guided by the intelligence community come from. But since it doesn't, then it's not really a Muslim ban, is it? It's if it's to ban it's not even a terrorist ban, really, because if it was, effectively it would ban the terrorist breeding grounds. Anyway, continuing, Robin Cook wrote, Al-Qaeda, literally the database, was originally the computer file of the thousands of mujahideen who were recruited and trained with help from the CIA to defeat the Russians. Again, the Russians obviously drawn in, as Zbigniew Brzezinski has intimated when he said things like, we did not force the Soviets into Afghanistan, but we created a situation that made it virtually impossible for them not to intervene. But here's the key. Again, from Robin Cook's article, this is when we hear these voices, cooler heads trying to prevail, saying, wait, let's not get ahead of ourselves. These people, they have to be silenced. We can't have this. Robin Cook wrote, the danger now is that the West's current response to the terrorist threat, a response that continues some 10, 15 years after this article was published, the danger now is that the West's current response to the terrorist threat compounds that original error. So long as the struggle against terrorism is conceived as a war that can be won by military means, it is doomed to fail. The more the West emphasizes confrontation, the more it silences moderate voices in the Muslim world who want to speak up for cooperation. Exactly. Essentially creating more terrorists. How many times have we heard this narrative? Remember, back in the 80s, Jonathan Quitney wrote the book on the subject, Endless Enemies. Remember, we've played the clip from 1998 of, ironically, of Gary Webb referring to Jonathan Quitney's book on C-SPAN's Washington Journal, saying, I think this policy that Robin Cook wrote about is creating endless enemies, as Jonathan Quitney wrote. So we don't have Gary Webb. Continuing from Robin Cook's article, success will only come from isolating the terrorists and denying them support, funds, and recruits. Has the CIA done that yet? On the contrary, actually, the CIA recently recognized Saudi Arabia as a leader in the fight on terrorism. And if that's not ironic, I don't know what is. CIA awarding Saudi Arabia in the fight against terrorism. A number of outlets reported on that. Bin Nayef received CIA award for counterterrorism. How ridiculous. This was just a few days ago. The Independent reported CIA awards Saudi Crown Prince with medal for counterterrorism work. Prince Mohammed bin Nayef given George Tenet, of all people, award by agency chief Mike Pompeo for contributions to realizing world security and peace. This is one of the frightening moments. I say that I watch the Trump administration with cautious optimism. This is one of the moments that frightens me. Mike Pompeo giving Prince Mohammed bin Nayef the George Tenet Award, CIA's award for counterterrorism work, is horrifying, because the CIA and Saudi Arabia, the Saudi regime, have colluded and conspired to produce more terrorism than any other collusion the world over, I would say, just in simple terms. So back to Robin Cook's article. What will successfully end the war on terror? Well, like he said, success will only come from isolating the terrorists and denying them support, funds, recruits, which means focusing more on our common ground with the Muslim world than on what divides us. Exactly, which is why I want to reach out to mosques and say, hey, do you guys have is your imam an FBI informant? Does your imam have any connections? Was your imam installed by the intelligence community? How many informants do you have working in your mosque? We understand how Operation Gladio and Gladio B works. We know what false flag terrorism is. We understand that unwitting folks are used as proxy warriors and Manchurian candidates all the time by way of intrigue and deception from the intelligence community. And so let's make sure that doesn't happen in your community. We know that you aren't those kinds of people. But moderate voices, moderate intellectual voices are always attacked by totalitarian regimes. We don't have Martin Luther King. He was assassinated. It's interesting, his family won the case against the United States government for its role in his assassination. That's not something we hear about on Martin Luther King Day or during Black History Month, is it? Why not? We don't have Robin Cook anymore. He was, I would say, assassinated. He died of a massive heart attack less than a month after that very article was published, which I don't think was coincidental. So these voices, these moderate intellectual voices, are always silenced. We don't have Gary Webb anymore, who blew the whistle on the CIA's drug running ring. Now we have Donald Trump, who wants to build a wall. Why don't we get rid of the evil tree that bears evil fruit? Bad tree, bad fruit. If you prune a bad tree, you don't get less bad fruit. You get more. What makes us think that any kind of oversight or reform of a bad tree will result in good fruit? How is that? How does that make any sense? So John said knowledge and the truth, which reminds me of John 8 always. Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples or disciples of mine, and you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. A conditional four-part statement. If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Hosea 4, my people perish for lack of knowledge. It's a painful irony to me to watch people clamor for support of Planned Planned Parenthood and Margaret Sanger, not knowing that the very people that support her are the people that she would probably have referred to as human weeds and have targeted for eugenic genocide and extermination. It's a painful irony to see how this agenda has been so effectively waged on the people from top to bottom. The top down, you know, we have these organizations that say what they say, the leaders that say what they say about, you know, a woman's right. And you heard Ben Carson say, certainly women's health issues are important. Who could argue with Ben Carson? Certainly women's health issues are important. He's absolutely right. But paying for abortion, like he said, with federal funding, when so many people are against it, is just not the right thing to do. Why doesn't that make sense? Do these same people that are shouting others down for a woman's right to health and, you know, right to choose? What about the child's right to choose, by the way? Are those same people willing to pay for things they don't agree with on a national level? So paying for abortion with federal funding, as Ben Carson said, when so many people are against it, is just not the right thing to do. That makes sense. It's a very sensible thing to do. And repealing Roe v. Wade only returns authority to the states where it should rightly reside on the issue. And folks have mentioned that that would immediately criminalize abortion in 13 states. Well, then move. Or don't have an abortion. And the painful irony in this, though, is that the same people arguing for a woman's right to choose don't seem to realize that, in essence, what they're arguing for is Margaret Sanger's argument that they shouldn't breed. And again, so from the top down we have it, and then from the bottom up, this mindset has infected people. You've heard people say things like, stupid people shouldn't breed. That's that eugenicist mindset that has infected people from top to bottom and everywhere in between of our society. That is the sad reality that we face in America. If only we could get knowledged up and understand what has been planned. This is the moment where America is being brought down. This could be what some people believe it to be. This could be the greatest society the world has ever known, with Google and Google's Books project essentially assimilating every book, everything that's ever been written. That could be the new Alexandria. And why, in the age of the collaborative commons and the Internet of Things, can't that be accessible to everyone and for free? Why not? It could be the new Alexandria. We have a great opportunity. We're on the brink of destruction in America. That is a planned destruction to bring us low. And, you know, again, this is all stuff that's been written about. Manly P. Hall, for example, as I was pointing out in The Secret Destiny of America, wrote about these things, about America's secret destiny, this world democracy that we've seen shaping up. But we are obviously the profane and uninformed. Folks, you know, among the books that John mentioned, perhaps folks should read The Secret Destiny of America, if only just to kind of get a hint of this nonsense. When you hear these high level, what one might refer to as Masonic illuminized figures, these intriguers, and deceivers, the suggestibilists, as I would call them, those who, the Pied Pipers of society, who influence people along in the fashion that Manley mentioned. When they talk about democracy, folks should read Manley P. Hall's Secret Destiny of America, Chapter 7, for example, the democratic tradition preserved by secret societies. And as he wrote, for more than 3,000 years, secret societies have labored to create the background of knowledge necessary to the establishment of an enlightened democracy among the nations of the world. Is that what's happening now? When we hear democracy, is that what we're hearing? Is that perhaps part of the reason that there were some convulsions that were trying to steer us away from this democracy? Is that why we have all but forgotten that America was established as a constitutional republic, not a democracy? So among those books, perhaps we should read some of Edwin Black's books, War Against the Weak in particular, is one that maybe we should read. And as a friend of mine, and John in Tennessee I think has mentioned the same thing, but as a good friend of mine likes to remind me, Chris, what's the full title of Darwin's book, The Origin of Species? You do a search for it, and even on Wikipedia, it shows up as the abbreviated or the abridged title. Everywhere it shows up as the abridged title, On the Origin of Species. But what is the full title, Chris? On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, which means what? Or when the word or is used, what does that mean? On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, or the Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. Speaking of Margaret Sanger and the eugenicists and this contrived controversy that abounds in these varieties of ways, perhaps we should remind ourselves of the full title of Darwin's book that his cousin, I think Francis Galton, wrote to him and said, "It's a wonderful book. It finally frees us from the theological argument that all life is sacred and precious, priceless even. Now we can tell people that they're biologically inferior and therefore they must die. And sadly, the world at large has been convinced of that, that they themselves are biologically inferior. But that's not true, is it?"
If your home has hard water, then it's likely that limescale is clogging your pipes, damaging your appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars each year. You can eliminate limescale in the entire house with HydroCare products available at Wave Home Solutions. Easy and efficient with no maintenance, no salts, no chemicals, and no coils. And you can buy with confidence from Wave Home Solutions. Performance guaranteed. Just go to bestwater411.com. That's bestwater411.com.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.